Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, here with another episode of my co-host, Ryan Ketchins.
Wow, I'm digging the cardigan, man. You brought the smoothness to the episode today.
You know, it's fall season, y'all. It's fall season, tis to the season here.
Let me say what I think it is. We got a special lady in the studio with us, and I think my man really trying to flex a little bit.
Is he trying to flex for me?
I think so.
Honestly, I wasn't. But when you walked in, I'm like, I'm happy I did it. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy I put it on. Because let me tell y'all who we got up in here today, y'all. We have an OG of this space. I'm talking about somebody who has graced all respected major networks and had this conversation over and over again, every possible way you could at the highest levels. And now she's here with us today on Hardly Initiated, your therapist, our therapist, Dr. Spirit. Welcome to Hardly Initiated.
Thank you. And it's always a new conversation, right? Because everybody that comes into the space is going to have something new to bring to it. So whatever it is you want to talk about, it's going to be new tonight. Let's do it.
Yes.
Now, this is proof that we've been listening. Guys, we did a survey about a month ago. We had a bunch of people fill out that survey. We saw Spirit's name on it. So we are listening to y'all. We take the membership very seriously. So members, just look out for a survey within the next couple of weeks because we need to get a whole new list of people that y'all want us on the show. And I'm going,
tell him you want me to come back. I appreciate you guys. Whoever brought me, thank you.
Yeah. And this tryouts. Let's see if she make it.
Yeah. And Spirit is TV. I mean, you've been on some of the biggest shows that's been out. I mean, Dr. Phil, you just came off of Lisa Bill You, and you did her a couple times. I mean, guys, if you seen Spirit ever, if you ever see her drop some game on some relationship content, some mental health content, please drop Spirit in the chat right now.
Drop that Spirit. And today, y'all, listen, we're going to be telling and talking about whether or not you should forgive. It's going to go deep this show, y'all.
Ooh, is that what we're talking? Forgiveness?
Yes. Ooh, it's going to go very, very deep. So we had to make sure we brought somebody that can grab a shovel and dig with us.
You're about to make some people's feelings hurt tonight.
Is that what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah, because there are some people, I'm sure, right now trying to figure out if they should forgive somebody. And now they're thinking, should I keep this on or should I turn this off, right? Depending on. Because there's some folks that want some forgiveness, but they don't really intend to do what it's going to take in order to have that forgiveness. They're going to want their babies to turn this off. They're going to be like, baby, you ain't got to watch it. How about I take it? Because, right? You know, I'm going to keep it all the way, 100, right? And then there's folks that are like, man, I'm right in the middle of this storm and I need to know, should I just let it go and forgive?
Yeah.
Or should I get all the way back in or should I just walk away? This is the last time. So we're going to help some folks out tonight.
This is the last time.
And it's probably some people who've lied to themselves about forgiving.
Yeah. There's a lot of folks who think that they have forgiven and they know that they haven't. There's a lot of folks who don't want to forgive and aren't ready to forgive, but the people around them are trying to pressure them to forgive. There's a whole lot when we talk about forgiveness. What does it truly mean to forgive?
Hold on. Wait. You're going too crazy already. Hold on, Dr. Spirit. Hold on. Tell the people the announcements that's coming before we get into the game.
Excellent. So I'll keep it real quick so we can get to Spirit. Now, listen, guys, welcome to the Facebook group. I know you've been joining us for the past couple of weeks. We're not going to do this very long, guys, and you only got 30 minutes. So after that 30 minutes is up, please join us in YouTube in the chat because we are excited to get an opportunity to meet you. This is big, guys. All super chats. So the super chats have been going crazy. Keep in mind, all super chats are highlighted, but anything at or above 10 bucks will actually be read on air. And tonight, very special. So I want you to send those super chats so you can get the specific detail that you're looking for your situation from Spirit. We got her. We got it for a good time, not a long time, right?
$10. Come on.
Exactly.
That's not insurance.
You know, her rate's way higher than that, right? So this is the thing, guys. And I wanted to give y'all an update. It's official. We did exactly what we set out to do, guys. We were raising $3,500 to get the studio sound treated. We actually are figuring that out right now because we raised the money since August. This is from August 1st all the way up to today, guys. The goal was $3,500. We've officially raised $3,574.72 via Super Chat.
Thank you, guys.
Hit us with that hand clap, Lano.
Thank you, guys.
So, guys, we appreciate you. Make sure you hit the like button and click the link that I'm about to drop so you can go ahead and join that email list. Let's get it rocking, Ty.
Let's get it rocking, because before we get into it, let's kind of talk about some of the common, I guess, misconceptions about forgiveness, okay? With your time in this space, what have you seen that to be? If you can just give us some common misconceptions people might have about forgiveness, can you think of any off the top of your head?
Oh yeah, that to forgive means we'll never talk about it again, right? To forgive means that somehow it just, I have amnesia about that, it like it never existed. So forgiveness somehow means that it's off the table and that it's not affecting anything. Mm. When really to forgive is something completely different.
It's something. Okay, you're not, now you're teasing that. Mm-hmm. What exactly?
Well, you said slow down.
Exactly, what exactly does it mean? Oh no, it's all yes. It's all gas now. We at it now.
Oh, we at it. Okay,
what does it mean to forgive?
To forgive means that I am willing to move beyond your hurting me. I'm willing to move beyond a violation. And often they, okay, that's cool. I forgive you, but we haven't really moved beyond it. We will continue in relationship with somebody, but be stuck exactly in that space. Mm. And oftentimes the reason why we can't actually forgive is because no one has reassured us in that situation that it will never happen again. So I may stay in relationship with you saying, okay, that's fine. I forgive you. When really I can't forgive you, because to forgive you might mean that you will go back and rewound me in the exact same way that either you have or somebody else has before. And oftentimes the one person that stops us from being able to forgive is not the person that's sitting across from us. It's the person that's looking at us in the mirror. We often have not forgiven ourselves from the wounds that we've allowed ourselves to experience. So we've got layers and layers and layers when it comes to forgiveness.
So here's the thing. Obviously in this lifetime, people are going to do you wrong. It's going to be things that you just have to forgive people for. That's
why?
The reality.
Why do you have to forgive?
Now that's my question. Oh. Should I look at forgiving everyone or do some people not deserve forgiveness?
Hmm. Well, it depends. What do you think it means to forgive somebody?
When I think of the word forgiveness, now she got to put me in therapy now.
That's a good question.
I promise but I will not therapize.
That's a good question. So when I think of forgiving somebody, I look at forgiveness symbolic with this letting go. It's like a freeing of me holding something I have, an emotion in particular, against that particular person. So when I think of forgiving them, it's just me releasing whatever hold or emotion I have stuck in me for that person, getting it out, just releasing it, whether that's anger, that's disappointment, that's shame, whatever that might be, it's the release of that as it associates to them.
So is that saying like you're not going to be upset about the situation no more?
Exactly. That's how I would define forgiveness. But what do you think of that?
I think that that is a healthy way to do that, which is why a lot of people talk about forgiveness being something that you give or that you do for yourself. But I don't necessarily think that forgiveness means I'm going to release all of the emotions around that. And it's unrealistic because let's say, for example, as a child, you had someone who neglected you or who molested you. To release that, to say, I'm going to forgive you for what it is that you've done to me. And oftentimes we don't even process the trauma and take into its totality what we've had experienced in a particular situation. So to say that I'm going to forgive you for something that I haven't even processed myself is really rewounding to you. because you will constantly be triggered in the space with that person. You will constantly be triggered in your thoughts about the experiences that you had with that person. And oftentimes we're so quick to want to rush to forgiveness. And it's not us that wants to rush. It's everybody around us so that they can feel comfortable. Can you just let that go? Can you just stop talking about that? Can you just stop bringing it up? Can you just stop having an attitude about that? See, you need to take that to the altar and just leave it there so that you can move on. But how can I move on if I've never even given voice to the wound? How can I move on if I've never even had the wound treated? How can I move on if it's never been rehabilitated? How can I move on if nothing has been put in place to ensure that I won't continue to be rewounded once I let it go? So forgiveness has layers to it. Mm. Forgiveness, often letting it go as you're describing it, is often the last step. But because we're trying to jump there like it's the first one, that's why you have people walking around in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, still holding trauma that happened to them in their childhood. That's why you have siblings who are 60 years old who don't talk, parents who don't communicate with their kids, brothers and sisters who just cannot get it together, couples who...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are still looking like their divorce should have happened 20 years ago, but still in relationship over what happened when they were dating.
Yes.
Right. But saying, I forgive you. But
fake forgiving.
It's not fake. Mm. It's believing that I have, not recognizing, you know, it's like saying that I'm healed because I got a keloid when the bullet is still in me.
Wow. That's a great analogy. Right,
that is a beautiful analogy.
Right. So think about all the trauma, right? Somebody who broke a bone but never really got it treated. And then they say, oh, well, when it rains, it's I get the aches and the pains. Oh, when somebody touches me in the wrong way, it hurts. Every so often, if I move on it the wrong way, it'll go numb on me. If we do not treat our wounds and fully, completely rehabilitate them, we are left to deal with them over and over and over. And that is why we bleed on other people as well. Because when they come and they touch that space where that place has been wounded without them recognizing it, we are forced to deal with that pain all over again.
I literally had
that all over again.
Metaphorical experience happen to me in real life. With
you want to share? Okay, wait. We might therapize him now. Do you wanna,
right.
Would
right.
you like to share?
Well, it wasn't an emotional wound. It was like a physical wound. Mm-hmm. But I actually broke a bone in high school. Mm-hmm. I didn't do the proper therapy afterwards. Mm-hmm. They gave me a route. You either do surgery or you do therapy. I said, well, I'm gonna just do some therapy. I don't want to go under the knife. Mm. Didn't really fully commit to the therapy. And now at my adult ages, I had a moment. Like I think it was 6 months ago where I had to completely just leave the gym. I couldn't lift any weights.
Yeah.
I couldn't like do anything. And after going to the chiropractor, he explained to me because of the trauma that I had experienced literally in high school and never fully rehabilitated what had happened.
Which is painful because the rehabilitation is a painful process.
Which it was an extremely painful process, which is why I half-assed it. Mm-hmm. I got it to a point where I could deal with it.
Where it's enough.
Where it was enough.
Yeah.
And I was able to still get through my day to day with it there and almost forget about it. And let me tell you what was so interesting. What he said was, what's interesting is your body, what ended up happening, my muscles around it started to adapt to the trauma.
Yeah, it atrophies, right?
And what happened is it started to damage other parts of the things surrounding it.
Okay, so now what I need you to do is connect the dots that emotional wellness or mental wellness is synonymous with physical wellness. And the same thing that happens to you physically also happens to you emotionally. And so if you do not heal places and spaces completely where those wounds exist, you will lose ranges of emotions. You will lose ability to show up in your fullest expression of yourself. Your body will literally adapt to the traumas and the wounds that you have had and limit your ability to be fully and completely in relationship with everything that you could be in relationship with, including the relationship that you're having with yourself. It is literally that way. And so when we see people trying to be in relationships with each other, what we have is so many people with all these unhealed wounds who are trying to have their whole parts line up with people's wounded parts and vice versa. And so when you recognize that, then you will recognize, oh, shoot, hold on. I'm a wounded person trying to be in relationship with somebody who is wounded. Neither of us have done our healing work and we're trying to operate at 100%. It's impossible to do.
Man, this sweater thick as hell and I got chills.
It's wide open in the front. It's wide open. Give the ladies some of that. They might like it.
If you got to go back and take a look at internally, what you got going on before you can forgive somebody, I would imagine it's a bunch of people who have truly, really not truly forgiven the person that had on their mind or the person that put them through some level of issue.
And what the hard part is, unfortunately, what happens is even if we say that we've forgiven that person, and a lot of times we really do think that we have, but what we're doing is we're doing it from a place of survival because we're trying to still figure out how to stay in relationships with these people. So oftentimes, oh wait, he just caught that.
Yeah, I caught that one. That makes sense.
Let me actually add to this right here, because you said something that was so deep. You lose the range in emotion.
Yeah.
I remember, shout out to my mom. She's probably watching this. I don't know. She'd be Hi, like, mom. Why are you talking about me on this show? My mom went through something young when she was younger. That was pretty traumatic. Mm-hmm. And I remember when she talks about it, she actually says, it's actually very hard for me to remember because I literally forgot those like memories. I literally like, she was like, Ty, I buried it so deeply. I really can't even remember to even explain it to you.
Yeah.
Like, so literally, even when you talk about losing ranges of yourself, I see people, that's just one version of it, right? You might actually completely lose the memory altogether of what happened. You callous certain emotions. Mm-hmm. So you literally might not even feel certain things in certain ways, which allows you to operate in desensitized way.
Come on.
So there's like so many effects when you talk about losing those range of emotions. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize, again, because of the trauma, your body has adapted this way to allow you to operate. And you have it's like you have blind spots that you don't even know are there.
Well, the reality is we all have blind spots, right? But you are right in the right ballpark. And so often when I'm working with clients, that is one of the most surefire ways to know that there is some trauma that they have experienced at some point in their lives. When they start talking about, I don't remember most of my life before the age of 8 years old. I know that there's something there. Or when they say, I can look at pictures of me sometimes and I know that's me because I know that's clearly me, but I don't remember that house. I don't remember that bike. I don't remember anything about that time in my life. It tells me that there are things that have happened that the brain has literally taken from them in order for them to be able to survive. Because the reality is that we are hardwired to survive and our brain will do some incredible things, some serious leaps and bounds in order to keep us safe and in order to keep us literally on our feet, even if that means emotionally disconnecting ourselves. And so oftentimes when I know that somebody is at the breaking point is when they can't feel anything. When they tell me, Spirit, I'm just numb and I have been for a long time. But the problem with that also, you heard me talk about this connection between mental and physical health. It's not just all in your mind. It's actually in your body. And so what will happen is you will start to have physical symptoms that you don't recognize are literally functions of mental health conditions. So when you're dealing with things like insomnia, memory loss, whether it's short-term memory. If I say, remember this phone number, 213-623-2306, and then I hit you in 10 minutes and I'm like, what was that phone number again? And you're like, man, I mean, it was like a 2 and a 6 and a, your short-term memory is not there. Mm. Your long-term memory is not there. The headaches, the backaches, the infertility, all of these different things that are happening, the high blood pressure, the diabetes, people don't recognize this to oftentimes be symptoms of the stress that your body is under trying to keep your memories and the amount of stress that you're dealing with, trying to keep that from you intellectually and emotionally. It is all interconnected. You are one whole being. And so for your mother, for example, the trauma that she experienced, that is how her body decided that would be what keeps her on her feet. We're just going to take those memories from you, because to have access to that would debilitate you so badly that you might check out in one way, shape, or form. And then I also want you to realize, though, your mother is not the only person that experienced that trauma, because everyone that's been connected to her has also experienced the consequences of that trauma, including you. Right? Because it affects how she shows up. It affects her ability to connect. It affects how she thinks in the world, how she sees the world. So for better or worse, it has affected her parenting. It has affected her ability to love, her ability to trust, her ability to forgive, and everything in between. Mm. So we're not gonna ride your mom tonight because she's not here. We're just gonna love up on her and give her the praise.
I love you, Mom.
We love you, Mom.
If you're in this chat, say put Ma in the Come chat on. So I know it's you.
She got one of these.
But
troll
it's real
accounts.
Talk, right? We are all surviving trauma. We are all surviving intergenerational trauma, the trauma of our ancestors, the trauma of our elders, the trauma that we have endured. And we are passing that on to everybody around us that we're trying to be in relationship with.
Oh my goodness. First of all, y'all don't understand. I can take this conversation so many different ways.
Let's
right
go.
Now.
Where you want to go? Well,
I'm gonna keep it on track to where we're going, because what I want to let people know is at this point, it's so much trauma is a part of the experience of life.
Yes.
So to some degrees, forgiveness is naturally gonna be a part of it as well. And you broke down something I think was beautiful and we should not miss. You said forgiveness is the last step.
Yes.
That was big.
Yes.
Because most people talk about forgiveness being the first.
Mm-hmm.
So What are the steps to forgiveness?
Yeah.
Like on the way to forgiveness, what does that look like?
Well, I think that that's a good question. I think oftentimes before you can even get to forgiveness, and let's understand that forgiveness is a decision also. I tell people that in order to forgive, just like in order to trust, you have to decide whether or not you want to do that. And so when I'm working with individuals or with couples or with families, whatever is the dynamic, I say, well, how about we reserve that choice and that right and that decision for the appropriate place when we get there? But the very first thing that I like to help people do is to understand how you got to that point. Okay, so let's talk about like one of the most common places that people want to deal with forgiveness, right? In relationships is infidelity, right? It's like,
right.
I cheated or you cheated. Should we forgive? Should we keep going? Should we? But when they come to therapy, do you know what do you think is the most common question that people want to know from their partner when they come to therapy?
Which part? The partner that cheated or the one that didn't cheat?
The person that didn't cheat, right?
Okay.
And by the way, I always say that both people are responsible for infidelity. It's never just one person.
Wait, hold on.
Don't piss them off like that.
We got to go back to that one, though.
We'll come back.
It takes both people to get there. Everybody has a role. Now,
I got a situation on infidelity. We will come back.
Okay.
Don't worry.
So we'll go there. Okay.
Yes.
So, but for the person who was quote unquote wronged in the situation, you cheated on me. So you stepped out. What do you think is the number one question that I want the answer to if we come to therapy? If you cheated on me,
why'd you cheat?
Why did you do it? Right. And they're waiting for the answer. And I will step in just before the person gets ready to speak and they open their mouth and they go, and I go, hold on before you do that. Okay. And the reason for that is because you are setting your partner up to lie to you. The reason that you're setting your partner up to lie to you is because oftentimes they have no clue about why they did what they did.
Oh.
And so what they do is they start to tell you what they think is the reason. Well, because you weren't there for me, or because we've been fighting, or because I was feeling lonely. But what they don't understand is that is the tip of the iceberg. What is at the bottom, what is at the root of all of that stems from unmet needs that often go back way before you even come into relationship with each other. So what I invite couples into, again, whether it's intimate partner or any other kind of relationship, what I invite them into is a place of exploration and investigation to understand who you are at your core, to understand what are your driving motivations, to understand those traumas and how those have shaped you, to understand your needs, unspoken and spoken, met and unmet, to really introduce you to yourself. So then you can introduce yourself to the person you're trying to be in relationship with. So then you can have some real conversations from an educated, knowing place about your why. So it's kind of like, can we reserve the answer to that question so you can get the real answer? Because it's not just the, you didn't spend time with me. It's often, I have felt rejected over and over, not just in this relationship, but what the relationship is doing is triggering and touching old wounds. And I don't have the proper coping strategies. So what I decided to do was step out of this relationship to get needs met that I did not even know oftentimes were there and needed to be fulfilled to the level that they have to be fulfilled at.
Ain't nobody explaining why they cheated like that.
Yeah.
Because they don't know.
And it's the exact same man or woman.
Listen, man or woman. And when you start to understand who you are in a different way and you are willing to do that work in front of your partner in a different way, you start to hear things about each other. Things start to click for each other. You start to see this is how we line up. So that's why that looks like that. So that's why that sounds like that. So that's why you respond to that. That's why you won't touch that. And all of a sudden we're healing in front of each other and we start to have empathy for each other. We also start to have a clarity in our understanding of each other and if we're really compatible. So when we get to the space of making the decision about one, whether I'm going to forgive you or not, then we can do that from that healthy, healed, knowledgeable, knowing place that brings us peace with the decision that we make. But also the second part of that is not only just do I want to forgive you, but do I want to continue in relationship with you?
That's what I was
gonna
ask you about.
Where I love you and go our separate ways.
Okay, so you can forgive, but that doesn't necessarily mean you want to continue the relationship.
Oh, 1,000%. I can forgive you and never give you access to me again.
Wow.
And sometimes that is the healthier option because not everybody is committed to change. Not everybody is committed or motivated or has the ability to meet the needs necessary in order to make sure that you forgiving them warrants staying in your life.
That makes sense. So once you go back and you evaluate kind of how it started.
Yes.
And the issues, the true foundation.
What's really there? Why you really wounded me in the way that you did? What was really at the root of that? And if you are aware of what's at the root of that, are you really willing to do the work necessary to heal that so you will never wound me in that way again? And that is difficult because most of us are not trying to change and most of us are not trying to heal. And even worse, most of us are not really trying to meet ourselves because we already think we have us figured out.
That's a fact.
Real talk. We already think we know us.
Let me backtrack because I want to get some methodical steps for the people. Before we forgive, it sounds like the first step is we have to identify the root of what caused the pain. Is that it?
It is more so, what am I trying to forgive?
What am I trying to forgive?
Yeah, what needs forgiveness?
Because, it's not as simple as, he cheated on me. I need to forgive him for cheating. Is it not that simple?
No. No.
So what could possibly be all the things you might need to forgive for infidelity?
I think it's information. It's being able to take an educated understanding and decide what you want to do with what you're concluding. Mm. And so I know that sounds really complicated, but it's like, why should I just jump to forgiving you if you don't even know what you've done to me? You can't even articulate how you've hurt me. You won't even take accountability for hurting me. You're not even connected to the fact that you hurt me. And even worse, because you don't have any of that information to even build upon, how do I know you are not going to hurt me again? So me just saying, okay, you know what? I forgive you. That's fine. Let's move on. Let's not talk about it. And oftentimes what people are looking for is the forgiveness card to be the shut everything down card. You said you forgave me. So why are you still bringing it up? Yeah, man, why are you still talking about this? I thought you forgave me. Like, that's supposed to let you off the hook. But really, the saying that I forgive you is I'm willing to continue to allow you to be in relationship with me. But oftentimes folks, again, will say that they are forgiving, but they are really sitting in that situation saying, now you're going to pay. Now you're going to owe me. Now you're going to show up for me like I want you to. Now you're going to be punished. Now I'm going to withdraw from you. Now I'm going to hit you with the get back. Now I'm going to show you. Now I'm going to reclaim my power. And so we think that we're doing things that look and sound like forgiveness when they are actually something completely different for our own met and unmet need.
You know, that now, that explanation allows me to make sense of what you almost gave the formula for a good, strong apology.
Mm-hmm.
Because what makes an apology strong is the information that other person have about you.
Mm-hmm.
And their genuine intention behind what they want to do future tense by you.
Yes.
So if they understand what hurt you,
mm-hmm.
how it hurt you,
mm-hmm.
how it affected you,
mm-hmm.
and are committed to not doing that again,
yeah,
that makes a really good apology.
Yes. But I will say the thing that actually brings peace, because there's difference, right? We think that we're doing forgiveness in order to achieve peace. I will say the one thing that gets left out of most apologies that would bring peace and healing is the person who has wounded the other person needs to be able to articulate a plan, an understanding for how they will take responsibility to ensure that that wounding never, ever happens again. Because see, most people are afraid to forgive because what they believe is the minute I say that I've forgiven you, you're going to do it again. The minute I say I forgive you, that's when you think it's over. So now you're out the doghouse.
You're going to do whatever.
Now you can just let your guard down. So not only will I not forgive you, but I will keep bringing it up in order to make sure that you don't forget, but also in order to make sure that you know that I haven't forgotten. I still got a feeling about it. And so oftentimes what I like to do is I like to help people get to, again, the root, because we can talk about the leaves on the trees all day. And so oftentimes when we are trying to communicate to people, we're doing one of three things. Okay. We are either sitting in a situation where we're trying to achieve something for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's some form of protection or getting a need met. We are trying to foster a relationship and further that relationship with somebody. Or we are trying to communicate a thing to someone else. And so when somebody is talking about how you've wounded them over and over, if you can get to the root of why are you bringing it up? Not what are you bringing it up? Not trying to shut down that, but what is it that you really want me to know and understand in this moment? And oftentimes the person is saying, I'm scared that you're going to do it again. I'm afraid that you don't understand what you did to me. I'm mad that you think that I shouldn't be hurt anymore. So we're doing all of these things, trying to actually get something from someone instead of getting to the root of it to be able to say, this is what I need from you in order to be okay.
What you're saying is very clear, but I think everything else is what comes out when people are in that forgiveness process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very curious, just from, you know, you counsel a lot of couples.
Yes.
Do you think that once somebody cheats, I mean, is it really worth going through that entire process? Not necessarily forgiveness, mm-hmm. but to continue a relationship with them when these feelings might come up again down the line?
I think it depends on whether or not the couple is willing to do the work. And I often tell people, believe it or not, breaking up is not the thing, because everywhere you go, there you are. So you will leave the person who cheated on you and still then wind up in the same kind of relationship again, especially if you haven't done the healing work to understand why you chose that, why you were attracted to it, why you stayed in it, how you showed up when all of the things that were happening led to the cheating and even the aftermath.
Yeah.
So everywhere you go, there you are. That's why people think that they have a type And they do. They have the same type of person. You're dating the same person over and over and over. They got a different name and a different face, but they are in essence the same person over and over. So until you do the work to heal yourself, you are still drawn to the same person over and over. You have to evolve as a person and heal to a particular place so that you will attract and choose and nurture a different kind of relationship. It's just a requirement. And so what will happen is we will stay in relationships with people because we've invested so much.
Right.
We've put in all the time. We don't want to be divorced. We don't want to be a baby mama. We don't want to be a baby daddy. It's cheaper to keep her, all these other things, but never do the real work to have the relationship that we fantasize about. And oftentimes we are in two very different relationships. We got the fantasy relationship that we're constantly trying to build and push our partner to. And then we got the relationship that is the reality of our relationship,
real
right?
Relationship.
Yeah. But subconsciously, we're constantly trying to nudge our partner and the relationship into this fantasy world instead of being able to communicate what your fantasy is to your person. Mm. Let them communicate what their fantasy is and that you intentionally build a relationship that allows both of you to live out the fantasy that you dream of. We just don't know how to do relationship because nobody ever taught us. And so we have all this hurt, and you hear about hurt people, hurting people. So we go into relationships bleeding on each other, trying to have the kind of relationships that we want, reenacting all of that traumatic experience that we've already had with our partner over and over and over.
So let me ask you this. So even Wait, with forgiveness,
we over 30 minutes in.
You're gonna let the Facebook
group. Let the Facebook grow. Let me let the Facebook group go real quick. Because I want y'all to come over to YouTube to join the rest of this conversation. Because this conversation is just getting warmed up, y'all. We going there tonight. So come on over. And you're kind of finding my mom is up in the chat. I got so happy to see up in the chat. Then mad to see that you're not a member of the actual.
He said, pull your card out.
So,
Mama,
please, can you please become an initiate tonight, Ma? Please. Like, I need us to come on. We family, Ma. Facts. You already an Facts. Initiate. Please join. But go ahead, Ryan, go ahead, get it.
So I was going to ask you, so even with forgiveness on being on the table, right? Mm-hmm. Even though it's on the table, after, you know, they get through that process, do you find that most couples shouldn't have even been together in the first place?
No, I think that any two people that want to be together can be. The question is, how hard are you willing to work? And I think that some couples are naturally more compatible with each other than others. So I have some couples who are extremely uncompatible with each other. Seriously. I mean, let's be real.
Okay.
You got together. Nothing is working out. You recognize that you got together for all the wrong reasons, but you love each other to death and you don't want to see the relationship go. So I have people who will be like, Doc, whatever it takes to keep her, I don't care. I'm willing to do whatever. And so sometimes we literally have to develop plans on how do you then nurture this relationship in a way that's going to satisfy you both. So if she wants to go out on dates once a week, but you're a person who don't like to go out at all, you might have to do the work of putting that notification in your phone to remind you that once a week on this day, by this time, you got to have that restaurant set up. You got to have the babysitter set up. You may have to call her 5 times a day and put the notifications in your phone to text her and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, just thinking of you. If those are the things that she needs to be happy. Or if he's a person who says, listen, I love to do skydiving. I love to do sports. I love to do all of these things. And she's like, I don't want to get my nails dirty, Doc. But he wants to do this with me. Okay, I'm ready to keep that relationship. So it means enough to me to meet their needs.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what your partner's needs are, and worse, if you don't know what your own are, and you can't articulate that in an effective way to your partner, you cannot intentionally build the relationship that is going to satisfy you both. And so it's really about how badly do two people want to be in relationship together? And are they committed and devoted to doing what it takes to make sure that the other person is living the kind of relationship experience that they want? Because if not, that person is going to find other ways to get those needs met.
Okay. I can't imagine being in a relationship with somebody I'm not compatible with.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Oh yeah.
Well, okay. So what is compatibility? Like, what's true compatibility?
Yeah, compatibility is about how two people fit together.
Okay.
Whether an intimate partner relationship, whether in a relationship like how you guys are, it's how we come together. And do we fit in such a way that both of us can be satisfied and have our needs met in a relationship? Or do we fit together in such a way that my needs go unmet at the expense of yours being met? So are we constantly bouncing off of each other where neither of us can ever be truly satisfied? Because to be in relationship with each other is simply it's untenable for us. This just doesn't work. Everything about you does not work for how I want to live my life. When I think about what I want my forever to be, you are in a completely different ballpark and direction. And sometimes we choose people in situations for the wrong reason. Mm. And so then we get in the relationship and it is miserable, either for them or for the other person or for both of those people. So compatibility is really, do we fit together in such a way that I want to experience life, I can do that with you.
So we just really walked right into it. So I'm not even going to wait till later because I think it's just so relevant to now that I want you to kind of walk me through this one.
Okay.
Since we already so heavily jumped into cheating, we had an initiate reach out to us and she explained that she has a relationship and her husband actually cheated on her and got a woman pregnant outside of the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think what she communicated was she knew that something could have been happening,
mm-hmm.
but obviously it wasn't kind of big enough to move her in a way to really do somebody because she was relatively.
I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Okay. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But what she communicated is now that a child occurred
mm-hmm.
outside of the marriage. She's very confused at how to go about handling this.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to know how she should consider forgiveness as it relates to infidelity that led to a child.
Wow.
So where does she start specifically in that situation?
Well, when you say should she consider forgiveness, do you mean should she forgive him for disrupting her life and disrupting their family and all of those things? Or do you mean, should she forgive him in the context of she's trying to figure out, should she stay in the situation? Because that's how people usually use forgiveness.
Yes.
Okay.
That is a yes. Mm-hmm. Let's answer that second one. Because I think that's where she is.
Okay.
I think she looks at that as such a violation
mm-hmm.
to the marriage
mm-hmm.
and such a high level of disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to figure out if she needs to forgive and stay.
Mm-hmm.
Or go.
Well, and honestly, I think it's so much more complicated than that because you have to look at the reality of, and so I'm not going to call that forgiveness. I'm going to say, does she feel like she could move beyond this transgression in a way that will allow her to stay in this dynamic and thrive?
Why is that not forgiveness? Is that not forgiveness?
No. Because I can stay with you and never ever forgive your ass for stepping out and making a baby.
Oh,
I can hate you forever.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at that child and every time I see that child, I can hate that child as well. I can sabotage your relationship with that child. I can hate the woman who stepped into this space and created this child with you. I can sit in this relationship and torture myself for all the things that I heard the whispers and thought, maybe I should say, well, no, I don't really want to. And so we get into this season where that becomes the cancer. And you know, cancer just metastasizes, it just continues to grow. And so if she's not really clear about the choice that she makes, and she doesn't make that from a place that says, I'm doing this in a way that is going to allow first me to thrive, then everybody else that is a part of this situation, then all she's doing is setting herself up and everybody else for failure. And when we have children in this place and space who didn't ask to be a part of this situation, who need love and who will have bonds with each of them, she first has to decide for herself, does she have the capacity? Does she even have the awareness about what she's signing up for? Because now she's talking about having to be a stepmother to a child that she did not desire, did not know existed, and has been consummated and come to being within the context of her marriage.
Mm.
So does she understand the dynamic of what she would be signing up for. Yeah. Is she willing to do that from a place of love, from a place of caring, from a place of regard? And is she willing to have to deal with being re-injured over and over and over as she moves forward, if she stays in the relationship, to have to explain this, to deal with the shame, to deal with the embarrassment, to deal with the guilt, to deal with the anger, to deal with the rage, to deal with the fear, to deal with the family now being fractured and reborn in ways that she never thought she was signing up for. And a lot of times this is hard because this is years of therapy. This is she willing to be in relationship with a woman who was her husband's mistress? Because that is now the biological mother of that child. Is she going to be able to foster a relationship between her and him to do co-parenting so that they can effectively co-parent this child? Is she willing to be the third parent or the fourth, depending on if that other woman ever gets remarried? Is she willing to sit in this dynamic? And not just willing to sit, because see, willing to sit is like, is she willing to sit and survive this? Can she find a way to thrive in this dynamic where all this becomes okay at some point down the road? And can she forgive herself? Because I'm telling you that what she is going through internally for not speaking, for not acknowledging, for not standing in the gap, for not confronting, not just him, but the situation, she has to start with forgiving herself first. I mean, there are layers. This is so loaded. So it's not enough to just say, can I forgive you? Because yes, I can. Can I forgive you and walk away? Yes, I can. Can I forgive you and stay in? Yes, I can. But what ultimately does my heart want to do? And honestly, that's not even a situation that she can answer that clearly right now. And I have worked with a lot of families, a lot of women who have sat in that, and they wind up divorced 10 years later, 17 years later, 25 years later.
Over that initial issue.
Yes. Wow. Because they tried, quote unquote, to make it work. They did everything they know how to do. They swallowed it. They tried to forgive. They were hurt all over again. And because relationships evolve and people are constantly developing, there are new issues and challenges at different points as that child ages, as that child comes into school, as that child has friends and sleepovers and birthday parties, and you figuring out where do you fit in, and your husband wants to go and celebrate and be there for his child, and the other woman is going to be there, and the other family is going to be there, and your family is going to be here. Like, this is very nuanced. And so what I would say to her is, if she's not having great therapy, my audience knows I got to hit them with the double claps, right? If she does not have a great therapist to first just process all the feelings that she's feeling.
Yeah.
The confusion that this is surreal. This is a nightmare that I cannot wake up from. The anger. The maybe the homicidality, right? I just want to kill him on some days, imagine. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody, I want to lay waste to the whole thing. If she doesn't have somebody to walk her through all of those feelings and to help her feel like and recognize those are natural and normal feelings, and to make sure that she doesn't disconnect from her body and just go numb just to even stay in the situation. And we haven't even talked about whether or not they had children of their own, because then that ups the ante, right? Leaving if I'm single versus leaving if we already have a family in progress, that's a whole nother set different. Of issues. So I think it's too premature for her to decide whether or not she wants to forgive him. I think the real question is, what does she feel like she wants to do at this moment? Is she open to the possibility of seeing how they could stay in relationship with each other, recognizing that that is going to take a lot of time and support? Or does she decide, I just can't. I know me well enough to know I'm never going to be a good mother to this child. I'm never going to be okay with this other woman. I'm never going to be able to be comfortable sitting in this situation with my husband while he has to have now this outside family. I'm not signing up for this. Then how does she still get into some great therapy to do the work to heal all of the trauma that has happened so that she doesn't carry that into the next relationship if she leaves this one?
Ooh, that's so much.
That's a lot to deal with.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot.
Think about the, because if they're doing it to co-parenting right, she's going to have a relationship with the other
Absolutely.
Woman.
Absolutely.
And then the kid is a daily reminder. I mean, the kid is going growing up going to look less and less like her.
It is painful. Or when you have children and you have to explain to your children who this new sibling is. right? This is your father's child. Well, this is our child. Well, when the child is going to church with you or in community with you, and they go, "That I didn't know that y'all, you and Gerald this, right? had a new," right? And you have to explain that to people. And a lot of people don't have the fortitude in order to get past that and to be able to say, yes, my husband made a bad choice. We all know what that looks like. And this is our family. And we can find our way to healing. We are stronger on the other side of this and we can all thrive. Most people don't have that ability. And it really haunts them for decades when they try to sit in it. It really does.
So I see how somebody could get past infidelity. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, the ante is increased tenfold if you're having a baby on the side too, right? But something like domestic abuse, physical, you know, heavy emotional abuse, is that even worth a woman or even a man seeking, you know, or I guess pursuing forgiveness to continue a relationship? Or is that something that, hey, regardless if you forgive them or not, you probably shouldn't continue that type of relationship?
Well, you know, I think I am probably in the unpopular opinion in this.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that most people will say that that's a deal breaker. And as soon as you put your hands on somebody, that's it. I know a lot of colleagues who won't even work with couples who are involved in a domestic violence situation.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just see that differently because I think if you are the healer and the helper and somebody is coming to you for healing and help, and you are the oftentimes the last ditch effort, if you turn them away, how are they supposed to get better? How are they supposed to fix it? You are the expert there to help them fix it in a very non-judgmental way. And so in order to be able to understand violence, and here's the other part of that, is that people often, when they think about domestic violence, they think about people putting their hands on each other.
Right.
But there are many forms of domestic violence, right? Emotional violence is very real. Technological violence is very real.
Wait, what's technological?
Technological violence is using technology in order to abuse somebody. So it's the way that you communicate with people on social media. It's the way that you text them those crazy messages. It's taking their phones. It's accessing their passwords and certain things as means to be able to control or isolate. It's being able to utilize things in order to draw them out and keep them under your thumb, right? Social isolation is a form of domestic violence, taking you away from all your friends and all your family. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be dependent upon me. Financial violence, making sure I control every dollar so you don't have access to have a life of your own. I know everything that you do, I dole out to you. You are completely under my control. And so oftentimes it's very easy to see the physical bruises that happen. But we don't talk about that within the context of violence across a relationship that is not always just physical. We often don't talk about also that role reversal in heterosexual relationships where it is the woman who is physically violating the man. And oftentimes we don't talk about that because if he's a man, he's somehow supposed to be able to take that. She can't really hurt me. Meanwhile, she's picking up an iron and throwing it across the damn room at you, or picking up a vase and breaking it at your feet. And you're just supposed to be able to deal with it because she's angry and that's supposed to somehow be okay.
Wow. You know, I never thought of that as domestic violence, like a woman taking something and throwing it.
Oh, are you kidding?
Have you thought about that as domestic?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we miss it, especially, you know, when we get into these roles about what men are supposed to be able to endure and what women are supposed to be able to endure, her punching you or slapping the mess out of you at her will, you're supposed to just be able to be like, all right, now, come on. Now you just, right. I'm gonna just grab your wrist and you just, you know, you got a little bit beside yourself, or her talking to you like you're crazy. Right.
Now we hear that. We hear
beating
that a lot.
Down with her words, cutting you so deep, just slicing you from ear to ear with her tongue and not recognizing that that's a form of abuse. Mm. Right. There are so many different ways that we don't understand how we wound each other in relationships. And so when I have couples who are doing that, I look at that as this is the behavior that you are using due to some thoughts and feelings that you are experiencing. Let's talk about how that's evolving. Let's talk about why you choose that as the option to deal with what you are internally experiencing. And where did you learn that as the coping strategy? Oftentimes, unfortunately, we live in a society where we talk about anger management. Mm. I personally, as a clinician, don't believe in anger management. I believe in getting to the root of what something is and healing it. Because of course I can teach you, just catch your breath, just count to 10. Every time you're upset, just walk down the block. If she says something and you get triggered, just close your mouth, clench your fists, and just walk away. But how is that really helping you? All that is doing is saving one situation of violence, but you are still then having to deal with all of those things internally in yourself, and you are still having an interaction with that partner. So how about you get to the root of all of that? Instead of trying to manage what you're experiencing, how about we go in there and disengage that and heal that? So all of a sudden, those buttons are not there. How about we give you new neural pathways, new ways of coping, new ways of understanding dynamics, and give you new ways to be able to show up to take care of yourself so that you don't have to act out, so that you don't lose control, you don't black out, you don't feel the need to control or grab onto somebody or punch a wall or go drive fast or go drink something or go gamble it away or all the other things that we do in order to try to cope. So when we talk about domestic violence, I like to look at it as the symptom. Now we have to get to the cure. Mm. But if we're talking about the symptom, where is the wound that that symptom has originated from? Where does it occur? And that's where we need to get to the root of. And that's what's playing out in relationships all day, every day. And all we're trying to do is forgive as a behavior, never getting to the feelings or the thoughts that cause us to need the forgiveness in the first place.
Mm. I'm gonna ask you this, because in your experience, mm-hmm. working with both men and women, mm-hmm. do you find it that men have a harder time forgiving than women?
That's a great question. See, and the reason why I say it's a great question is because I'm trying to think about it like how the average person thinks about it, like how yeah. we're talking about it tonight. I think in some ways men are quicker to forgive, but I think it's because they're more disconnected from their feelings.
But is that true forgiveness?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And that's why I say it's a really great question, right? Because to just not care about something
yes.
does not mean that I've forgiven you.
Absolutely.
Right? But men mistake that. I don't care. I mean, I moved on Absolutely. From that, right? And because they have such a limited range, like we talked about when we first sat down, they have a limited range of emotion. The only things that they can actually feel are the things that really deeply piss them off or really deeply hurt them. That's why men will feel like things around disloyalty, you know, if she cheats, it's unforgivable, right? But if the boy, it just, you know, stepped out and did something wrong, you my boy, I got you, dog. Yo, we good. We exchange some words and we keep it moving, right? So you have to be hurt at such an intense level to feel anything oftentimes as a man, because you're so disconnected from emotion, that it's not actually true forgiveness. It's just I'm hardwired not to be fazed. Mm. And that goes back to just survival. I mean, that's enslavement for us as Black folks here. We literally had to be disconnected from our bodies because we could not experience fully the feelings associated with the traumas that we've experienced.
Wow.
But that is, you know, that's folks who have had to immigrate from places, folks who have had to deal with war, folks who have had to deal with family violence for long periods of time. Like anytime you become disconnected from yourself, it's very easy to say, I forgive you, because the real reality is I'm not connected to you and I'm not connected to that. So I just don't pay it any mind. I'm basically unaffected, at least at the surface, but that's not what's happening at the core.
So men are pretty much just better at desensitizing, turning their emotions off.
Well, you guys have been conditioned to do it. So you're not better at it. You just had more time. Mm. Men have been conditioned in our society to be disconnected from feelings. You all have not been given permission to actually feel anything. That's why a lot of men have no value for feelings. That's why they say, man, you better get out your feelings. And I tell people all the time, you better live in your feelings, because your feelings are literally the things that tell you what you need in order to be okay in this world. And if you're not connected to the feeling, if you can't identify the feeling, then you can't take care of yourself. If you don't know that you're scared, you don't know what you need in order to solve or relieve the fear. If you don't know that you're confused, you don't know that you need information in order to get clarity. if you don't know that you're hungry, you can't connect to that you need calories in order to satisfy the hunger. And so men have been conditioned not to feel anything. So you guys think that you're just logical, but the logic comes after the feeling, because the logic is supposed to be the strategy that you use to relieve or solve the feeling. So you guys just often, that's why they'd be like, oh, men are y'all so simple. Y'all just do this, this, and this, and y'all be good. But it's literally because you have learned to just be here for service. Just be here to take care of us, protect and provide. That's all you got to do. You don't have no other job. Take care of us, make a way for us. Make sure we don't get killed out here. We don't care about your feelings. Damn. And that is why you guys are dying on the vine.
Wow.
Damn. You have literally been taught. Boys cry in the dark, right? Because big boys don't cry. Man up and all those other things, which tells you figure out how to disconnect from your feelings. But to be disconnected from your feelings is to be disconnected from yourself.
And I'm curious. I know we just talked about forgiveness and infidelity and then, you know, forgiveness, domestic abuse, but men specifically, who are they looking, the most men, who are they looking to forgive? What type of situation are they looking to forgive?
They're not looking to forgive oftentimes anything. Men are really just trying to survive. Mm. With all the weight and the pressure and the responsibilities that you guys have on you, you just like, yo, could I just have some peace? I'm just trying to get to the peace. I'm just trying to get to the place where she ain't screaming at me, where my mom ain't screaming at me, where I can feed my kids, where I can provide. I don't have time to be caught up in feelings. Yo, to carry any of that is just going to be more burden, and I cannot deal with it. But really and truly, because you guys are not connected to your feelings, you're not connected to the hurt, you're not connected to the trauma, that is why you guys die like you do. Mm. That's why you guys have heart attacks. That's why you stroke out. That's why your blood pressure is through the roof. That is why you have migraines. That is why you have so much pent-up aggression and frustration, because you are like a pressure cooker constantly. It's just blah, 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 blah. And at least with women, we have the ability. We are literally taught, talk about how you feel. Y'all get together and commune, do the girlfriend thing, go to the bathroom together, like sit up and talk about your feelings, cry together, commiserate together, celebrate together, support each other. As men, y'all can't even have real conversations. It's like, yo, yeah, you see that sport game? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, you see that new car that's coming out? Yo, them J's, you know. And that is how you guys bond, is over things, but cannot talk about, I'm really hurt, or I'm really scared, or rejection is a problem for me, or insecurity is a problem for me, or yo, I had this learning disability when I was growing up, and maybe I got ADHD, but I'm not really sure. You have all of these things that as men, you're not even given permission to touch.
Yeah, all of that is weakness.
See,
amongst men.
Amongst yes. the average man.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's all like
yes.
You actually were kind of almost even throw off the vibe.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's taboo. Yeah. You'll be the buzzkill. You'll be the buzzkill, which to me, as a clinician, and even as just a human being who's done a lot of the work, to me, that is the ultimate weakness, because what it says is I'm so fragile, I don't have the ability to touch the hard stuff. Mm. Men will talk about it like it's weak to be in those spaces, but actually it requires so much strength to not just go there, but to sit in it and to carry the weight of that and to unpack it. That is the hardest thing that you will ever do. So when a man is like, yo, that's that weak stuff, that's that, well, I can't say it. I don't know if y'all cussing stuff.
You know, but, no, you can say whatever,
but
you know, you
but
to
when they say, you know, it, they refer to it as like, I love to say, because men will say, you know, they'll call it the P word, right? It's that,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I'll have to be like, yeah, but you know, that's actually one of the strongest muscles that exist, right? So like, we literally push babies out of that joker. Yeah, we carry right. like 7-8 pound bowling balls for like 10 months. Like, let's really understand the strength that's involved in that. Come on, you better, because you always trying to get up in it ever since you came out of it, okay? But that's a whole nother conversation. But in all seriousness, right, the things that men often see as weak, it's really I'm touching a pain point and you don't want to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
So instead, we will just keep the top on that and say, don't touch it. And we will joke about it. We will really use that as a defense mechanism to keep you out of our soft places.
Yeah.
That's how y'all operate. So we just stay on the surface. As long as we're staying on the surface, I'm not going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
right? As long as we stay up here, but you start touching this. I have worked with a lot of men at every level, the most hyper masculine, you want to call it alpha male, whatever you want to call it. We are all human beings at the very bottom of who we are. And I start talking to one man about any part of his life where we get into real trauma, real connection, real intimacy. And you will watch that man, I don't care how old he is, become the little boy version of himself. And he should have every right to be able to do that, because you guys are beautifully designed perfectly with all of your feelings intact. And you come into a world that robs you of that and then expects you to show up every day to give everything you got for the benefit of everybody else.
Damn.
That's true.
Damn.
And man, touching that emotion is like, I don't even watch movies that I know will invoke emotion.
So look, like, speaking on that, first of all, that metaphor of the pressure cooker was crazy.
Yes.
Mm. I was watching this movie. It was on Netflix. It was like in the movie, this woman, like her mom got kidnapped and she pretty much thought her mom was dead. So she started going through her, what she thought, dead mom's text messages. Mm. And oddly enough, I recently lost my step pops like two years ago. So I pulled open. It just made me want to think. I was like, wow, do I have his text messages? I just randomly went. I typed his name in. I went and I had a whole text message thread of him. And I read the last few messages in that text thread.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you, I absolutely lost it. Now, keep in mind, I don't cry very, like, that was the most recent time I cried, was a few months ago. But before that, it's been years. It's been years before, like, before I really cried. And when I tell you, it was
such... You know how unhealthy that is?
Oh, no, no, I know. It's very, it's very unhealthy.
Yeah.
It's very unhealthy. But let me tell you, this was such a deep cry. This was a deep cry.
The cleansing cry.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, most of the cry is silent. Like like it's just a hard...
Oh,
like,
let me tell you,
it was so... it was such a hard cry. I had to, like, I'm mid crying, closing the blinds in my house.
Because you don't want nobody to see
crying. Like, I'm mid cry. Because you know how my place, you can like see in big windows. I'm just closing them joints because it's so hard. And in my mind, I'm like, damn, this was after I was done. I'm like, damn, like this was inside of me. So I can imagine that, you know, first of all, in my mind, I'm like, what the hell else is in there? It's like, what else is in there?
Right.
And not even just for me, just from other brothers, because don't get me wrong, I've been through a lot of shit.
Yes.
But it's a lot of dudes that have been through a lot more than me.
Everybody got a story.
So I can imagine what's that pressure cooker?
Yes.
What's just the pressure just boiling inside of a lot of men just walking around?
Absolutely. And literally crying is the button that releases some of the pressure. That literally takes toxins out of your body. It literally contracts your muscles and relaxes them. Crying is literally a physiological gift that we have been given in order to take care of ourselves. It's part of our hardwiring to be able to survive. And most of us have learned how to disconnect from it or at least go numb. So even for you to say what's in there, the idea that you don't know says something in and of itself. I won't therapize you today, though.
Okay. Please do not make this man cry on camera.
I don't want to be that.
Brand image.
No, either they're going to love me or they'll hate me after that. Either you're going to, we'll send money. They'll subscribe for your therapy.
Now, we got some super chats in. So I want to give a shout out to some members. Shout out to Ruby Designs, who joined the membership. Shout out to Servia, who joined the membership. Shout out to Fancy, who just gifted a membership. And Janelle, she says, this is off topic, but her hair color is so beautiful.
I said the same thing, Janelle.
Yeah,
I said
the same thing. Shout out to Cornelius Knight and Nzinga Grant sending over the super chats. We got Yali too. Yali says this is good. Yali says she cannot wait to be an emotional safe space for her future husband.
Ooh,
shout out to you, Yali.
Shout out to Yali. And shout out to KN looking out for the fella. She says, this is a good one. So, Spirit, the men want to know the signs that a woman has truly forgiven him. I think that's a good question. How do I know she's really forgiving me versus just putting up with me until she gets that get back? Because I don't know if y'all ever see these, you know, those little like Reddit stories. You ever seen that online? Where like these random stories is read, and you got these husbands that are just the only place I guess they want to share is online, right? They don't got nobody else to share with. They don't got Dr. Spirit.
Men don't go to therapy. They get podcasts.
They do podcasts. Right. First off. She just tried us. Right. But no,
you they right. caught it afterwards.
You're right.
Facts.
But these guys are they basically say, like, yo, you know, my wife says she forgive me. We got into a relationship. I end up catching her cheating, and she'll look at me and be like, yep, that's what you get. Mm-hmm. You know, so how do I know as a man that my woman is just not waiting to get back at me? And I know she's actually forgiving me, mm-hmm. and I can stop being paranoid.
Yeah. Why would you be paranoid?
Because, I mean, I think immediately that's what you think. If you cheated on somebody or you did something to somebody, that's what I think. I think now that I've gotten caught mm-hmm. doing this act, they may want revenge.
Ooh, see, now I'm going to therapize him for just a second.
Get his ass! Get him, Dr. Stern!
I just want to know, where did you learn that?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know where I learned it from. You're right. I did learn that. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I got it from. It's just how I think.
Okay. Well, I want you to know we never just do a thing.
Okay.
There's always a reason for it, but I would be curious where you learned that. But we won't therapize you then. He said, get your ass.
Wait, do you not think that if you get caught doing something you shouldn't have been doing?
No.
Really?
No, I actually don't. Yeah.
You had to have that experience at some point in your life, whether directly or indirectly. Wow. You learned that as a consequence. Something you experienced taught you that if I do something to someone, retribution or revenge is in order. So then you literally have an anxiety when you have wronged someone. And I wonder, to what level? Is it little tiny things or is it only the big things? And oftentimes we don't know it's there.
And you know what's crazy? In my mind, I made this up. Mm-hmm. I thought everybody thinks that.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And actually very, very much so surprised me that Tyshawn does not think that. Because in my mind, I thought that. That's just what people.
And did you see his eyes? He's like, no.
I'm like, absolutely not.
I don't expect. Yeah, like the women I have, I like expect the women that I have to be disgusted with infidelity, or at least so into me that they can't let a man into them.
I get what you're saying.
No, he didn't. That's why he started chuckling.
No, I'm laughing because wow, that's just blood. That just blows my mind. Mm. So that is a completely different line of thinking. So you think pretty much you go out and cheat. And you're like, even though I got caught cheating, my girl loved me so much, no way she'll go back and cheat.
Yeah, all I think about is, man, I'm about to have to deal with all this shit from the cheating. Like, she's going to be like, no sex. You know, she's going to be having attitudes. Like, I'm more worried about those consequences than her actually cheating back on me.
Spirit, you know what? I do need some help because, you know what I think? In my mind, I think if I get caught cheating... Mm-hmm. I don't even want to be forgiven. Mm. I'm just done with the relationship. Because in my mind, it's only a matter of time before you find opportunity mm-hmm. to do what I did. Even when I make big mistakes, mm-hmm. I think, you know what? It's over.
So here's the beauty in that, though. So what you're experiencing is a form of anxiety that is actually working to protect you. And that's what healthy anxiety is supposed to look like. We got to answer his question, so I'm not going to get away from it. But I will say this real quick, is that when anxiety is healthy, it is there in order to make sure that we don't experience things that we don't want to experience, negative consequences. It's a form of protection. So like when your anxiety is like, did we leave the stove on? Did we lock the door at night? Mm. It gives us these things in order to keep us safe. So for you, your anxiety says, I don't even want to cheat because I don't even want to have to deal with the fallout of that. So I'm going to worry in advance enough to have that regulate my behavior. So my partner doesn't ever have to worry about cheating with me because it's a choice that I make because I don't want to deal with all of those future potential consequences.
Wow.
That's a healthy example of anxiety. I get it.
Healthy anxiety.
Yes, anxiety. Being anxious is a feeling. Like, I wish I should have brought my feelings wheel in here tonight so you can see all the feelings. But anxiety or being anxious is a natural feeling.
Yeah.
It's there to protect us. It's there to make us think about how we do things so that we do them the best that we can.
I'm glad that you broke that down because I did not... I guess identify that as anxiety, mm-hmm. but now that I'm thinking about it, that's exactly what that is.
Anxiety is literally worry about the future. And it's usually worry about things or outcomes that we don't want to have happen. So the easiest way to resolve anxiety is to come up with a plan for what you would do in that worst case scenario. And then immediately your body goes, okay, we're good. Cause now we know what we would, okay, we know, we got a plan. We're good. So anxiety is literally there to help you go, what would you do? And how do you avoid that so that we can stay alive?
Check this out. Let's drop a poll real quick.
Okay.
And ask, how many ladies have cheated back once their partner cheated? I would love to know that.
I'm going to drop that in the poll now.
Ladies,
so.
I'm not asking you, will you do it in the future? Because the will you in the future, you got this righteous vision of what you will do. I'm talking about in the past. What we've already done.
Oh, no, they don't.
Done.
Listen, women are learning from y'all. They be like, hell yeah, if he does, it's open season.
No, right? That is what the no, we
that is the, that's
I've
the conversation.
I've seen that all in the comments. That's the,
listen, because we are at a place where people have to recognize that fidelity or staying faithful is a choice. People don't stay faithful because they don't have options. They stay faithful for particular reasons and agreements with partners. And when the partner violates the agreement, then they often feel like they are not obligated to have to uphold their end of the agreement as well. Because it's like, to stay with you means that I'm sacrificing other opportunities and options. So if you're going to be out here exercising all of your options and opportunities, including me, then I'm going to be out here doing the same. But I don't want to get away from your boy's question because I feel bad.
I'm dropping this poll because you got
okay,
me.
You no,
got
you me the poll.
But you doing? You don't got to. You first of all, you're going crazy tonight. We got 932 people in the chat, guys, and we only have 320 likes. Let's just make a bold push to get to 400. And 50 likes. Guys, close your chat if you're on your phone,
yes,
if you're
you
on
the
TV, that thumbs up, please get this thing right now to 450 because we need to bring as many people. This is a healing conversation.
Absolutely.
Let's spread this to the world real quick. Please hit that like.
Yeah, shout go out ahead. To Alexis who just joined the membership. And guys, I just dropped this poll. Ladies only, have you ever cheated back? Yes, he deserved it. Yes, but I regretted it. No, I don't cheat. No, but I thought about it.
Those were so, good ones, right?
Yeah, you like that? Yeah. You like that?
That was some context.
That was
great.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I want you to go ahead and answer that. Cause so we got people sending in super chats. So we're going to get to those spirit, but answer that one.
Okay. What we'll are go
some,
back for me.
Let's go back to it. The fellas want to know, what are some signs for my woman that let me know she actually truly has forgiven me?
Okay. So here's the thing. It is not about signs. You have to go into what I call the best gift that a person can give you, which is their thoughts and feelings. Mm. And so you have to create an environment in your relationship where there is a culture of honesty and transparency. Mm. Your partner can tell you forever, yeah, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. Yep, no problem. We good. With her saying, and I literally have had couples do this. I literally know women who say, how long do I have to wait in order to divorce him before I can get X, Y, and Z? Oh, okay. Let me just hold that in my back pocket. I know people who have served their partners on the day that the benefits will apply legally.
Wow. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's way more common.
Savage world.
Wow.
It's way more common. And we'll have friends that will support them. I had a woman once who was going to leave a partner, and her best friend called her and said, happy anniversary, friend. And she was like, it ain't my anniversary. My anniversary ain't still for like 6 months. And she was like, I know, you better remember that. Click, and kept it moving. Right. So I want you to understand that.
The long behind is laughing. He laughing.
The folks behind like, started laughing.
He's like, so he's 19. He getting introduced to a lot of crazy shit that people do.
He gonna be ready,
right?
He gonna
be ready.
Well, because listen, once we get to a point where we're no longer invested in our partner and we are really about self, all bets are off. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for how to set myself up and take care of myself to the very best of my ability. And if I'm having to make that choice because you did something that wounded me, then you are going to pay. And oftentimes I'm going to feel justified, or I'm going to believe that that's going to make me feel better. So I'm going to go for blood. So to answer your question, the real thing is not how can I just kind of set my mind at ease that this is really where she is and what she wants. It is how do we now build the relationship that we need to build so that we have true intimacy, so that I can trust what it is that she's saying, so that she feels like she can honestly come to me and have these conversations with me. Because real talk, most people really want to have an incredible relationship. They just don't know how to get there. So if you came to me after you cheated and you said, listen, baby, I really want to be with you. I really want us to get this right. I really want us to do the work. And if I see you doing the work, if I see you expressing real accountability, if I see you really trying to tend to me and how you hurt me, if I see you really trying to come into intimate partner relationship with me, which is what I thought we had before you stepped out, that is going to be far more valuable to me than holding this get back card, because what I'm going to know about the quote unquote get back card is that that's only going to blow us up further. And so what I try to teach couples is that you cannot hurt your partner without hurting yourself and your relationship too. So you think you're getting some get back, which is why people are always confused when they get back and recognize it didn't get us back to anywhere. It actually made it worse, and it didn't get me back to myself. I actually feel even worse in doing it. And oftentimes the sex wasn't even that good. So you stepped out with somebody and you thought you was going to have something. Mm-hmm. And now you got another body on you. It wasn't that good. You got all the consequences of that. And now your relationship is no better for what it was that you did. So it's like, how do we step maturely into this situation so once and for all we can create the relationship that we thought that we had before we blew it up? How do we really work to put it back together? And that's not something you should have to guess about. If you have to guess in your relationship, you both are doing something wrong. Not just one of you, but you both are doing something wrong. If I don't really know where you are, if I don't really know what your intention is, if I can't really trust that what you're saying is the truth, we're not operating with each other where we should be.
That was thorough.
Good. I want it to be thorough.
Was? Yeah. Let's close the poll before we go into the initiation hotline.
Oh, okay. They vote fast. So, damn. What did they say?
Yeah, we got a good amount of people. That this is good.
So first off, we got close to 1,000 people in the room, 930 people in the room.
Hey, y'all.
Ladies only, have you ever cheated back? We got, let's start from the bottom. Yes, but I regretted it, says 15% of people. Okay. Yes, he deserved it, says 19% of people. But the majority, we got it coming up. No, but I thought about it. And no, I don't cheat. So it looks like most of the ladies are saying, at least 46% of them are saying they don't cheat. Mm-hmm. But we got some of those people in there that they was out for revenge.
Yeah.
Ladies, listen, ladies who took the revenge route, let us know, were you completely satisfied after that? Or was there still some leftover issues after you actually move forward with cheating? Because you're saying,
or it might be both, right? I'm satisfied. I feel vindicated because I got a secret. Oh. I'll show him. But that does not solve the problems in your relationship. You still got the same issues, whether you step out or not. The stepping out is not the issue, nor is the stepping out the solution. The problems are still the problem when you come back to the relationship. So you got to decide, at what point are we ever going to do the work in solving the problems in our relationship? Otherwise, you're just going to keep getting back with each other. You going to know that she's stepping out. You going to know he's stepping out. But we not going to talk about it. You going to get your get back. I'm going to get mine. And then we just going to walk around still being in relationship with each other.
Cheated on, just suck it up.
You better stop. Revenge. That's no what revenge. He's trying what to teach do, you. I you ain't going, no, no, no. You ain't about to gaslight these ladies in this room. I refuse it.
I'm joking, ladies.
You ain't about to manipulate them.
Y'all know I'm joking.
Shout out to Alexis that's joined the membership.
All right, look, Lana, put the number up because it is time for the initiation hotline.
And I know when the hotline bling. So look,
let's go ahead. Let's put our headphones on, y'all, because we're going to take some calls in from the people.
See, Lana got to get, listen, hit the sound, Lana.
Oh,
come on. Wait,
yeah. Oh, wait, I want to hear
you. Oh, okay. You hit the sound. My bad.
Yeah, you don't hit the sound.
Yo, we're going to take the French lady. The French lady, shout out to you for sending over that super chat. We're going to take that right after these calls.
All right. So let's go ahead, guys. Today, all right, I want you to call in today, and I want you to talk to us. All right. I want to hear a brother today, man. I want to hear a brother. I want you to ask a question. And I would please gear it around a very difficult one of the, if not the absolute hardest situation in your life that you had to forgive. All right. Now, listen, we need to be brief and brilliant on here because I know how y'all try to get up.
They're
on
gonna
here.
They're going to give their dissertations tonight.
Oh, my goodness. I have a dream speech up on this joint.
Okay, they got to give you the whole setup.
The whole thing.
Tell them to hit you with the
head. We got them coming in, Lano.
We got them coming in. All right, somebody let's up on here now. Listen, welcome to Hardly Initiated. Go ahead, give me your age, your location, and your question.
Hi, yes, my age is 35, in North Carolina. And my question is, if you're in a relationship where there's multiple infidelity moments with your partner, and you are telling yourself that you're constantly forgiving it, is that like a sense of like a self-worth, or where you like you would need to forgive yourself for something in order to have a sense of self-worth to be able to leave that situation?
Well, let me
and
ask
then
you,
wait, try to forgive.
Well, let me ask you, because I don't want you to just kind of gloss over it. What is it about the situation that makes you forgive it every time it happens?
He had a child prior to our relationship. So did I. His child's mother was absent. My child's father was absent. We came in and we kind of built this family, filled that gap for each other. And then we had a child together. And so we have this family dynamic that works really well, but the relationship is.
Wait. How does the family dynamic work really well when you have a partner who constantly steps out on you, and then you have to figure out how to survive him and the relationship, and the two of you are the first example that all three of these children have about what a healthy relationship is supposed to look like? How is this working really well?
I guess that's a question that I have to ask myself, because I guess for me, having a child that didn't have her father present, and he came in and filled the void that I needed. And so we have a lot of the same ideas when it comes to family, as far as like spending time with the kids and being intentional about certain things that we do with them. And when we're around them, you know, we see that they're happy and everything. It's just the relationship part of it behind closed doors that they don't see is what is hurting.
Oh, no, I promise you that they see it, my beautiful lady. What they don't see is the context that makes it make sense. But one day when they are grown and they are able to connect the dots, they are going to go, oh, so that's what that was. And what I hear you having is what we call a trauma-based response. You had a trauma as a child, the absence of your father, that now has you being willing to subject yourself to traumatic, abusive treatment over and over and over again, because you now believe that it is better for your children to have the presence of a man, even if he treats their mother badly, than for them to have to endure his absence because of whatever you experienced by the absence of your father. And so what I want you to go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh, I think it might be like flipped for me, because I have a very present father. He was there 100% of the time. He was an amazing father. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I feel like I want that so bad for my children.
So let me make sure I understand. So then on the flip, you're saying your father was present, and so you are afraid to separate from their father because you're afraid that him not being in the same home as them means that they will somehow not have the experience that you had.
I guess, yeah, I think so.
So where did you learn that the only way for your partner to stay in relationship with his children is if he gets to continue to be under a roof where he abuses and traumatizes you?
I think I was thinking that it makes it easier.
For who?
My kids, I guess.
Do you guys know the number one outcome, or the number one indicator for how children grow up to thrive, whether or not they actually do?
I thought it was the daddy in the house.
Absolutely not.
What's
that?
Believe
it or not, it is the quality of their mother's happiness.
Wow.
Damn.
The quality of their mother's happiness is the number one indicator as to whether or not a child will grow up to thrive. Because if you have a depressed mother, if you have an anxious mother, if you have a mother with post-traumatic stress disorder who is having to disconnect from her own body, she cannot show up to nurture you. She cannot show up to support you. She cannot fully step into that space. And what she will teach you about being in relationships with other people, whether you can trust them, whether you can trust yourself, whether you can actually be committed and connected to somebody and know that they will reciprocate that to you in a healthy way. She teaches you that not through her words, but through her actions. And so what I will say to you, sis, is that you have to decide for yourself how you want your children not to just grow up in your house, but to grow up in this world, because you are teaching them that right now through how you are living your life and showing them how life is supposed to be in this roof with this man who, as long as he is willing to be present for them through convenience, right? Because she's also teaching them that they should be convenient. So we got people pleasers being raised. We got people who won't speak up for their own needs. We have people who allow their own needs to be trampled on for the convenience and the comfort of others. And unfortunately, mom, you don't recognize some of the more traumatic lessons that you are teaching them by enduring inappropriate behavior from a man because you think you need to make his relationships with his children convenient, even at the price and the cost of you.
Hold on. That was just, first of all, that was just so heavy. And by the way, Carla, thank you so much for coming and bringing that question. You be blessed. Please take that information and run with it, okay?
Yeah, that was powerful. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You be blessed.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.